Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. I'm here today with special guest, Father Jim Rolfe. I've known Father Jim for many, many years. Father Jim is a priest in the Diocese of Lansing here in Michigan. And earlier this week, I had on the program Caitlin Miller and Katie Parada, who are millennials and fathers of millennials as well. And I just want to dedicate this week to the examples of the amazing things I see the Lord doing with young people today in the church. Mostly what we hear is kind of bad news, but there's actually some great stuff going on. So welcome, Father Jim.
Yeah, thanks a lot for having me, Peter.
Yeah, I neglected to mention you're also the chaplain at Flint Powers Catholic High School, right?
That's right. So I just finished my first year there. So finished my freshman year of high school again, and really enjoyed it, though.
No, I bet you're just fantastic at it. So full disclosure, I've known Jim since he was a tiny little guy. He graduated from high school, went to school with my son, Michael, all through elementary school and graduated from high school together. So I've known him for a long time. And just amazing to see what God's done in your life, Jim. And so would you be willing just to share with our listeners the story of your own journey?
Absolutely. Yeah. And it has been a joy. I was able to be with the Herbeck family a couple of weeks ago for one of their son's weddings. And it's just been a joy to be able to live out my own vocation now as a priest with different families and people that I've known. Those relationships have just continued to flourish and grow. And so it's been a great joy to be able to do things like that.
That was very neat seating you up there, presiding over the whole thing and preaching so powerfully. And for my son Joshua's wedding, and I can remember back in the day when he was just a little shaver, and you and my son Michael and Pete Bragg and a handful of guys would be over at the house. You'd always be picking on those little guys and having fun with them. And now he's getting married. He's a little bigger than you, actually.
Exactly. Yeah, it was sobering. Very sobering. Yeah.
And just to see really where God's brought you and the blessing and the kind of friendships you continue to have in the Lord. So many of your school friends and others are disciples, really seriously following the Lord. It's really neat to see.
Right, right. Yeah. And that's been the amazing thing for me, is to see God's plan in all of this, where when I was growing up, great Catholic family, we prayed together, went to Mass on Sundays and everything, and Jesus was really the center of everything. And I grew up knowing I can have a relationship with Jesus, that this is what's going to satisfy my heart. And at the same time, recognizing that I wanted so much what I thought was more out of life, that I had kind of my own plan for what was going to make me happy, what was going to satisfy me. And I remember as I started going through high school, thinking kind of the three things were really sports, friends, and academics, that if I could get those three things right, my life would be perfect. And as I started going through high school, I was blessed with a great group of friends, with good families as well, that I was able to lean on and rely on. But as I went through school, there's definitely some wandering as I went through in terms of looking for happiness and looking for what was going to fulfill me. And by my senior year in high school, was captain and a quarterback on our football team, had really invested pretty heavily in football, had just been elected actually to homecoming court, and with a girl that I was dating at the time. And I love telling the kids at the high school that I did date, but I had a lot more hair back then actually. And so had been dating this girl, and things seemed to be going very well there. And then had really invested heavily in baseball as well, and ended up being a four-year letter winner on our baseball team as well. And I was going to be a captain later that year as well in that sport. And so knew that God had given me this gift of leadership and this desire to compete and to do well, to succeed. And I always thought that was going to be in being popular, in being athletic and using those gifts. And then as well with academics, just using my gifts to be able to shine and to really do the best that I could. And so my senior year in high school, all of this is going great. I think I have it all together. And I still remember actually coming home from a friend's house. We had just gotten together for kind of a little party, a little hangout time. And remember driving home, and on the way home, just remember thinking, is that it? Is that all there is? Because it had been a great time. I'd had a lot of fun, but on the way home, that happiness kind of faded away. It wasn't something that lasted. It wasn't something that was enduring. It was more like a flash in the pan. I still remember that moment thinking, is this it? Is this all I've been working for? And kind of tucked that away because it wasn't comfortable to think about. Yeah. And really started my senior year to think about, what is God actually calling me to? And in my mind, it was hopefully play baseball somewhere in college, get a business degree. As I like talking to people, being with people, so I could do something in sales or something in business management, and then get married someday and have a family. That was really my plan, to fill that void or to find that happiness that I was looking for. And my senior year in high school, I was going to the Catholic school in Ann Arbor. Gabriel Richard High School is where I graduated from. And so we would have mass once a week there. And it was just one of our normal all-school masses, just a weekly mass. And I still remember where I was standing during the course of this mass. And there's nothing unique about this mass, but just remember this. And the best way I can describe it, I guess, is a thought that wasn't my own popped into my head. And it was just, Jim, you need to think about being a priest. Hmm. And immediately, like, goosebumps, kind of my heart sunk a little bit. And I was absolutely terrified in that moment. And I kind of joke that maybe I knew Jesus was in the tabernacle, that the true presence was there. And maybe there was like this message that had been sent out. There's really some kid behind me named Jim. I just had to turn around and let him know, hey, sorry,
you got
buddy.
The wrong guy. You got the wrong guy.
Jesus sent you a message. I accidentally intercepted it. Yeah. You've just got to be a priest and I'm scot-free. I can still continue on with my plan. Yeah. That wasn't the case at all. What ended up happening is at the time, I do think I had a decent relationship with the Lord, with Jesus, and spent time in prayer. And this really scared me, though. It wasn't my plan. It wasn't what I wanted, what I thought would make me happy, and really thought this would be the end of my life, that I'd just be miserable forever. What ended up happening is, like any good high schooler, I logicked my way through this and thought, well, God speaks to me when I pray. God's telling me things I don't want to hear. And so if I just don't pray, God,
you
can't talk to me anymore.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. And so in my mind as a senior in high school, I thought, this is great. This is going to work perfectly. And I think that most people who meet me would say, I'm at least a somewhat joy-filled person, a somewhat happy person. I can say that the next couple months were the most miserable I've ever been, because I was running from who I was created to be. I was running from the one thing that could actually satisfy my heart, that intimate relationship with Jesus and his call on my life. And so after a while of trying to run away from it and just being miserable, I played a little bit of Bible bingo and ended up going to the scriptures and just opening up and starting to read through some of the gospels. And I ended up hitting Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. And I remember reading this in my bedroom, just looking for answers, looking for something that would finally satisfy my heart. And it wasn't like I was reading the words. It was like Jesus was speaking the words to me. And he said, come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. Mm. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And it just struck me so powerfully that I had been looking for my own way to carry the burden all on my own. And it was failing. It wasn't satisfying me. And Jesus just inviting me into that intimate relationship with him to carry the burden with him, to be intimately united with him so that we could do this together. And it's been in that I've really found so much hope, so much joy, so much peace in doing not what I thought would satisfy me in my kind of selfish plan for my own life, but really surrendering that over to the Lord and saying, what is it that you want for me?
Yeah.
There's a lot more that happened in the course of that discernment, but that's really how I first felt the Lord calling me into this vocation as well.
I think one of the things that you experienced, I'm glad you told the story with kind of the anatomy of the unfolding of a vocation. We all have a vocation. Everybody's baptized into Christ will have a vocation, whether it's marriage, priesthood, whatever it is. So we're all called to mission. We're all called to follow him. But the kind of thing you experienced is so common for us. We feel comfortable when Jesus is in the tabernacle. There's a little bit of a distance there. And he's not too close. And we feel pretty good when we have our life managed and figured out. And we like the relationship to stay that way. I'm actually in the driver's seat.
Right.
I can see him. He's in range. I'm paying some attention to him each day or during the week, but I don't want to get too close that he might ask me to do something that I may not want to do.
Yeah.
But really what was going on, and deep in your heart, you wanted his will. That's really what you wanted. But at the same time, you had the human struggle of saying, well, can I trust him? Is he there?
Yeah.
Is he good?
Yeah.
Is it really him? Am I blowing up what it would be a normal, good life? I don't know what to think about all this, right?
Exactly. And I think that's one of the lies that so often in the world we experience is God really good? Does he really have my best interest at heart? And it really did take me that time of surrender and that time of really submitting to his will to find out that this is really what's going to give me life and really the ability to be who he created me to be, rather than trying to force it in a way that brings no satisfaction and just leaves me feeling empty and like I'm just kind of beating my head against against the wall.
The interesting thing is we never find out how good he is or how real he is or how personal he is until we risk exercising our human freedom to step into what we think he's calling us to. Because it doesn't appear in neon lights. There's no absolute guarantees other than trusting him and trusting that you yourself are hearing him and you're going to take the risk of stepping into that call.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that for me, St. Peter has been just a phenomenal witness. And I figure if Peter can do it, I can do it, right? He got to walk with Jesus and didn't understand, didn't quite get it right that he denied Jesus three times. And the story for me is always Peter walking on water and just this desire for those greater things to be able to do something that on my own is impossible, but with the power of Jesus that he makes it possible. And you never know if you can walk on water until you step out of the boat. And that was really what I found in this call to the priesthood is it was something from the outside. I said, this is impossible. I can't do this. I could never succeed in this. And then to be able to see though, that if I keep my eyes fixed on Jesus, if I put him first, that he's going to take care of the impossible things and just ask me to keep my eyes fixed on him and to walk with him.
Just this morning, I was reading a passage from 2 Corinthians chapter 9, where Paul talks about the thorn in his side and the reality of the weakness he was experiencing in his life. And Jesus said to him, a principle that I think applies to all of us, that my grace is sufficient for you and that my power is made perfect in weakness. And when you are in a position of thinking, well, I pretty much know what I want to do with my life and I can manage it, got pretty much controlled, and all of a sudden he kind of blows it up, makes you feel vulnerable. It makes you feel weak. It makes you feel like, wait a minute, I don't know where this is all going to go. And the high risk, and he just comes alongside us and wants to say to us, don't be afraid. I'm with you always. My grace is sufficient for you.
Right. And that's what I found more than anything else is that Jesus is enough. And that for years I thought, well, I need the either popularity, I need the sports, I need these other things, where really if they aren't rooted in Christ, those things are taking away from my joy rather than adding to it. And as those things begin to be integrated into him, and that's what I just experienced my senior year playing baseball, was great joy in being able to just be with Jesus in the outfield or in the batter's box, and that these two things didn't have to be distinct and separated, but that I could be who God created me to be, and still be out there in the world, just being a light in the
darkness. I still have a picture of you playing at Tiger Stadium.
Comerica Park. Yeah, and just a great experience being able to play where I had grown up watching my childhood heroes play. And we played in a Catholic League championship game there. Just a lot of fun.
Yeah, didn't you get a hit in the gap that game?
I had one good hit. And then a nice little blooper, too, that humbled me a little bit. So Jesus balanced me out there.
Yeah. I know there's a whole lot more to the story, both of really how what happened in your class as a group of seniors, but also your ordination, your time in the priesthood, the work of ministry you're doing right now. This program went by so fast. Father, can you join us again tomorrow? We'd love to have you on the program.
Oh, absolutely. I'd be happy to, Peter.
I put you on the spot. How's he going to say no, friends, right? Thank you so much for being here today. And friends, I hope Father Jim's story will encourage you because Christ wants that kind of relationship with you as well. So you can be near to him, you can hear him, you can understand and know his will for your life and come to really know that he loves you, that you can trust him, and that he's fundamentally good. God bless you, friends. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you a new booklet called Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. Recently, Pope Francis said the whole world is at war trying to destroy marriage. Marriage is a battleground today, but God has made marriage to be a blessing. And this little booklet contains wisdom that will bring life and joy and healing to your marriage. If you'd like a free copy of Transform Your Marriage, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.